Welcome to the Dads Lifting Dads podcast, a space for dads to share their experiences in what I like to call the great equalizer in life, parenting. Welcome to the Dads Lifting Dads podcast and episode one with Chad Meha. Chad and I built an extremely strong relationship working together over the last few years. Through that time, we shared a lot of laughs and enjoyed some really great conversation with each other. By far, the deepest connection we had with each other was about our families and in particular, about our challenges and highlights as being dads. Chad has a love for all things sport, but his love for his kids is undeniable. Chad wears his heart on his sleeve and has never complained about his situation or upbringing. He's constantly working on being a better human, and in this episode, he opens up and lets us in and bears all about his story. There are so many lessons in this episode, and Chad drops an absolute bomb on us about perspective and how he viewed his time with his kids. Welcome to the Dads Lifting Dads podcast, Chad Meha. Okay. I just wanted to start, mate, by thanking you for jumping on and sharing your experience. Because for me and hand on heart, it was, I said when I was going to start a podcast that you were going to be my first guest. So true to my word, you are my first guest. It meant more to me that I wanted you to be my first guest, because the reality for me was that I'd never had these conversations about being a dad with another dad, or with anyone, to be honest. So the conversations that we'd shared, and we'll kind of dive into, I guess, how we know each other a little bit more in a minute, but you know, I'd never had those conversations as a dad. So I just wanted to thank you for jumping on and sharing your story.
Yeah, no dramas, man. Like, well, as soon as you told me sort of this was sort of the space you wanted to fill and your passion and trying to help other people out, especially dads, it sort of resonated with me that, I wouldn't mind being involved for sure. And whatever I can do, if it helps one person or helps someone with my story, and then always like helping people out. So, and definitely a mate such as yourself starting new ventures and looking at helping individuals, definitely happy to be a part of it.
Thank you. So I know you, but people that listen to you won't know you. So just want to start and just tell me and tell everyone just a little bit about who you are, what you do, and then we'll dive in deeper after that, but just a brief little story about yourself if you don't mind.
No dramas. I guess grew up in Australia, born in Australia, grew up single parent mother, grew up around Burwood most of my life, spent a little bit of time in New Zealand as well, schooling and that, worked after school, worked in doing a bit of furniture removals and labouring work and that until I got into warehousing and been with IKEA for the last 12 odd years, really enjoying my time there. That's where I was lucky enough to meet you and spend a bit of time with you over the last few years, talk your ear off and had a bit of a laugh. Got two kids, a 12-year-old boy and a 9-year-old girl, Ty and Madison, and happily married, loving life, and trying to be the best dad I can be, best partner I can be, and the best version of myself. And that's sort of why, like I said earlier, the fact that that's sort of what you're looking at doing is helping dads out and helping dads be the best version of themselves. And really nice thing to be looking at. And I think, like yourself, I didn't really have anyone to talk to, sort of just been winging it for 12 years, and just trying to learn from my mistakes and learn from others' mistakes and learn from other people's things that work for them as well. And just lucky enough to have 2 years of conversations about being parents with yourself, and got one or two other close friends where I can sort of have the same sort of conversations. But yeah, it's not too many people, I guess, as a guy growing up in my time, where I'm 39, grew up in the 80s and 90s, and it sort of wasn't sort of seen as the thing to do, to talk about sort of those things. And sort of my upbringing didn't really have that as well, didn't really have, you just sort of deal with it yourself and try to see what you can come up with. So it was really good to have someone like yourself and another one of my mates are pretty close with, that we can sort of have those conversations with and help each other out.
Okay. Wow. All right. I didn't, I've always wanted to dive into this question, and I don't know. I know how to ask it, and I'll be straightforward in asking it, but you know, I've always known you kind of grew up in a single parent home. But if you just want to talk me through that a little bit, and if you don't want to dive into too much detail, how did that shape not only, I guess, your upbringing, but also you being a dad? So, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have a two-parent home for all my life, but, you know, how does not having that parental kind of, that dad figure in your life, I guess, shape, you know, you're not only upbringing, but then being a dad yourself.
Yeah, I guess for me, that's all I knew. So for a long time growing up, I didn't know. I knew obviously other kids had mums and dads, but that was the only thing I knew. So I didn't really think I was missing anything, probably until I was in my mid-teens, probably 14, 15 years old. And then I sort of started wanting I guess a father figure around. I was big into my sports, love rugby league, sort of wanted someone to be able to push me and I guess give me advice, and just being able to talk to about girls, about school, about going to discos or whatever it may be, just going to kick a footy around or doing the things that your mates are telling you that they're doing on the weekends with their dads, and learning how to drive, and I guess all those little things sort of started creeping into my head as I was, like I said, about 14, 15 years old. I started thinking about a few things would be nice to have that father figure around. But up until then, it wasn't really something I thought about too much. Had a few uncles that I was pretty close with that I looked up to that sort of, they were like father figures to me a little bit as well when I got the chance to see them. But yeah, it wasn't easy, I guess, especially knowing when you're growing up, knowing most other kids had both parents and not sort of knowing why your dad wasn't really in the picture. Really 39 years on, I'm still finding out stuff now where it's a weird situation to be in 39 years old and still finding out little bits and pieces about maybe why your dad sort of didn't want to be a part in your life, and why he chose to do other things, and why your mum sort of chose to keep things from you. And because I didn't find out a lot of things till I was 13, finding out different stuff, and then that sort of changed a lot of things. A lot of my thought process was, I thought, yeah, I didn't know what to think as a 13-year-old, finding out different stuff that you thought someone else was your dad but he's not, and then mid-20s finding out that might not be true. And then, like I said, just recently, last few weeks even, just finding out some new information about that my dad is around, that is that I could potentially get in contact with him if I wanted to. And then I guess the last few weeks I've sort of been thinking about, is that something I want? Is that 39 years to sort of get hold of me? And he hasn't. He knows where I am, knows who I am, would have been able to, but decided not to. So yeah, it's sort of something I'm sort of thinking about at the moment, whether or not that's something I follow, whether or not that's something that would benefit my kids as well to know their grandfather. At the moment, sort of, because I've been 39 years without a father, sort of not something I really think I'm interested in. not something I'm really think. For me, if I knew I had a kid, like I know I'd do everything with my kids, and I couldn't even spending 1 or 2 days away from my kids kills me. So to be able to spend 39 years away from your own son and not really be, I don't know if he's been interested and just hasn't done it, or I don't know, because I don't know his side of the story fully. But for me, if I was in a similar situation, I know I would have done everything possible to be a part of my kid's life. So yeah, I guess just growing up with mum, it was tough. She had a lot of issues herself, mental issues and different stuff with alcohol and drugs, and growing up in housing commission with not much money. And yeah, obviously a lot of people have it a lot worse than we did, but we didn't have it that great either. So I think leading back to your question about sort of where it's how it shaped me as a dad's probably more so shown me a lot of things that I don't want to do, shown me a lot of things that a lot of things that I don't want to be as a person, a lot of things that I missed out on that I want to make sure my kids don't miss out on. They're not really giving me real education as a father, but more so seeing what I didn't get and seeing what other kids got and trying to make sure, yeah, just being there for my kids and being that father figure that I never had.
Yeah, mate. Wow, I didn't realise it was still kind of and something happened so recently as well. But just thinking about, two things kind of stuck out. It was one of the very first things that you said was you didn't know any different. And it's funny that, when we don't know any different, we don't, I guess, have any expectation around it. And that kind of leads into the next bit that you've just never, it was never to see you kind of to have worked for with you for 2 years and spent so much time with you for 2 years, you never complained about what you didn't have. And if there was something that you did want or you wanted for your kids, you always were. Your thought process was, what do I need to do for them and what do I need to do for myself? So you never kind of, I guess, opted for that pity party, kind of that mentality of, desperation or anything like that. You're constantly, I guess, working on yourself. And I don't know whether that was shaped from the upbringing, but it's definitely kind of hearing a little bit about, that story there, even then you just say people have it far, far worse off than you. And that's kind of that's your mentality. And I saw that for 2 years, and it's a powerful thing. And I don't know if you realize how powerful that is.
Yeah, I guess for me, I spent a lot of years in my late teens, early 20s. Yeah, just probably being looking for the easy way out, looking for, hoping that just something would fall into my lap, hoping that everything would just be good one day and I'll just have money and just get a family and just end up owning the house and just getting the dream, living the dream without actually putting any work into it. I think I was trying to hope that my not hope that but just thinking that maybe because of all the things that I'd went through, I'd get a lucky break somewhere and everything would just magically happen. But without, like I said, without putting in any effort or any work and just being lazy and just spend a fair few years just kicking around and not doing too much until lucky enough to sort of meet my partner that I'm with now, been together for since 2005. So yeah, almost 16 years, I think 16 years next March. So yeah, we're both in similar situations, having our own different issues and that, but we sort of helped each other out. I sort of saw ourselves as like we sort of really needed each other at the time. I definitely needed her. I was in a pretty bad way, mentally and not dealing with stuff well, drinking a lot and doing a lot of stuff that I really shouldn't be doing. But yeah, I think meeting her sort of, especially after probably 12 months together, she sort of started steering me in the right direction and started letting me know. One of the first people to sort of tell me how it was, instead of just, I guess a lot of our group was just that we were hanging around with, we're just all losers and not sort of going anywhere. And I was sort of happily in the middle of that, and we were sort of all feeding off each other's negative energy. And like I said, just not really, there's no real positivity there, just out to have fun and not really do anything with our lives. So I think meeting Jess was really, really what I needed at the time. And to be, I've said it to her many a times, like if it didn't happen, I honestly don't know where I would be right now, because... yeah, I needed that. I needed that someone to sort of kick me in the bum, and someone that I could do. It took me a while to sort of be able to listen as well. I'm pretty stubborn, still pretty stubborn now after 39 years as well. I find it difficult for people telling me what to do when I think that I know better. But I think I was at a point where I knew I needed some guidance. I knew I needed some help. So hearing stuff, real, real honest truths spoken, really, really helped me and sort of steered me in the right direction. But yeah, still took a lot of effort from my end as well. A lot of things we had to put in place to make sure I could be where I am now.
Awesome, yeah. I think... the conversations, you know, about being dads was definitely, you know, what I enjoyed most, but just the conversations about relationships in general, because I heard a lot about Jess as well, and, you know, and all good things if she does listen to this. So it was just, yeah, just your relationship with her. So do you want to, I guess, go into a little bit more about your relationship with Jess, and then I guess how kind of that unfolded with getting married and then kind of in starting your own family. So what kind of, you know, fast forward a little bit through those years and getting through that, what then kind of, you know, where was when did you get married? When did you have kids? When did kind of that whole family kind of system, I guess, start?
Yeah, I guess, like I said, been together for just over 15 years now. Met in 2005. She was one of my mate's sisters. We ended up together 2005. Spent a few years together before... just fell pregnant with Ty. We were living at Marrickville at the time. First time we'd be moved out together, living together. Found out she was pregnant. It was probably one of the scariest, but definitely probably the scariest day of my life. But also, yeah, just the amount of pride to think that that I'm going to be able to have a child in 9 months' time. And I think, yeah, scary is probably the overwhelming feeling, the fear of, I guess, not being good enough or not being able to, not knowing, man, because you just don't know. It's an unknown.
Yeah.
I guess as a father as well, not having a father, I didn't know what a father's meant to do. I didn't know what a father's meant to be. Yeah, I guess lucky enough for, I guess the day Ty was born, 2008, May 27th, went in the hospital about 11 o'clock in the morning. Little bugger didn't come out till like 2 o'clock the next morning. been causing dramas ever since. It was a headache at the beginning and still carrying that on. That 2 o'clock in the morning when I got to spend about a couple of hours with him, while the doctors were with Jess, and just looking after, just holding him and looking at him and thinking about, oh, like this is like that, that you're his father. And it was, yeah, the proudest day of my life, to be able to, just to think, yeah, that's your son. Still every now and then, yeah, now 12 years on, I still look at him when they're doing something, whether he's playing PlayStation or playing soccer, and Maddie's doing whatever she's doing, taking her to girl guides or going to Acro, and just still think, yeah, kick back and watch him and just think, yeah, that's my child. Like, that's their father, and it's pretty proud to think that's, yeah, that they are where they are because of what myself and Jess have been able to help them with, and been able to be best parents that we can possibly be for them. So, and then, yeah, I think Maddie was 2.5 years later, Madison come along. So, yeah, it was unexpected. Like, Ty, we weren't planning for children, but both children were, I guess, blessings that we needed. There was sort of help, not only helped us to obviously become parents, but helped us become better people. You start, I guess, as mid to late 20s, you're still pretty self-centered, and you're still, I guess, wanting stuff, wanting to go out and party and do things that, I guess, having children makes you realize isn't the only thing in the world, is going out, having fun, and doing stuff like that. So, yeah, Maddie come along, I think, and then I guess she was the final piece of our family. She completed our family. Definitely having two kids made me realize that the family was complete, and I didn't want to have a third one, that's for sure. Not in a bad way, but I guess more so it's, yeah, financially it's tough. Being able to spread your time around with work, extra commitments outside of work with regards to what the kids do or what we want to do, and then making sure you're giving the kids as much of your time as you can as well. I guess having 3, 4, 5 kids, and I see some people with even more than that, being able to give them quality time equally, and I guess being a good father to them and being a good parent, and you still want to provide for them, sending them to decent schools, making sure they got decent clothes, or that they're fed well, and doing all that stuff. So the third child was thought about, but it was, yeah, definitely Maddie was the completion of that family. And a few years later, we decided that we'll get married, and went to Bali, took some of our family members over with us, and got married over in Bali, had a beautiful wedding over there. And yeah, that was a few years ago now. I think it was probably 3 or 4 years ago. When Jess watches this, I'll get in trouble, not knowing I know the date, but not the year. 19th of September, I got that part right, so I hope so anyway. Been together ever since. Lucky enough, last February, so about a year and a half, to buy our first property, where I'm at now, in Moorebank. Took us a long time, probably a lot longer than it needed to, but the fact that we sort of, both Jess and myself, we were never given anything growing up. We've earned everything ourselves. Everything that we own is from us. Like, it's... got to see a lot of mates and a lot of people growing up that were just given houses, given cars, given this, given that, and it was sort of, I guess you get a little bit jealous at times to think, oh, I've got to work so hard to even think about doing that, let alone actually doing it. So, but I guess the pride you get from realizing that day, yeah, when you first get the keys of your own house, and yeah, to realize it's all been done by just the two of you and that. And I just didn't want to get to a point where I pass away, or I, myself and Jess are no longer here, and it's going to be really hard. We know how hard it is now to get into the market, let alone 20, 30 years when the kids are ready to sort of buy their first place, or I can imagine how hard it's going to be if they want to stick around and be in Sydney as well then. So if we can leave something behind that's going to help them a little bit and hopefully start a tradition amongst us to do the same for their kids and moving forward. I know we're not going to sort of get, I'm not going to get anything from my mum. My mum doesn't own anything, and not that that's what you want, or that's not what you sort of, that you hope for, but if we can sort of do something that starts something with my kids doing that for their kids and so forth, then hopefully that's a positive trend moving forward and something we can all do for our families.
Beautiful, mate. And that's powerful. So it's not only about, breaking any, I guess, generational cycles or generational trauma or generational kind of, I guess, curses, if we want to use a word like that, and then but then starting your own tradition and leaving your own legacy and things like that. So that's powerful, and don't underestimate how powerful that is. It's not, I think a parent's job is about doing better for their kids and leaving their kids in a better position. And I know there's no hate or resentment towards your mum, and I know exactly what you mean by it, but what you're doing is taking that and wanting to, do better for your kids. So there's huge, huge power in that. What I wanted to touch on, so during the early days when Ty was born, like you said, you didn't know what a dad was supposed to do or what a dad was supposed to be, kind of. Was that a positive thing, a negative thing? And how did you cope with that?
Yeah, I can't really think of it as a positive or negative. All I sort of thought about, I guess, when Ty was born is, like you said, for me, the main thing of being a parent, the first thing I sort of started thinking about was, I just want to make sure he has everything that I didn't. And at first, I probably thought about it too materialistic. Wanted him to buy him all the toys. Probably wanted to buy toys for him that I wish I had when I was a kid and stuff like that, and just went overboard a little bit, materialistic wise. In the fact, yeah, mainly just like toys and games and little bits and pieces and stuff that I would have thought, oh, I would have loved this when I was little if I could have had this. And so I think I sort of thought about it in the right way in regards to, obviously wanted to make sure he had everything I didn't, in regards, or he had everything better than what I had. So that was my main focus, but I probably looked at it in the wrong way, as it didn't need to be materialistic. It needed to be, as in, more so what I've learned over the journey is that it needed to be, just need. I used to always think all the time is that every minute I spend with Ty is one more minute than my dad spent with me. And that's like, it might sound a bit weird or whatever, but for me, it was more like, yeah, that's, I haven't thought about it like that for a long, long time, and it's probably good because it's just become normality and that and all. But that's, I know early days, that was a big thought in my head was, yeah, every second I spend with him is one more second than my dad spent in my life, and it has to be. And I try to make all those seconds and minutes as positive as I possibly could. And I knew I was doing better than what my dad did for me. I knew everything I did wasn't right. I made heaps and heaps and heaps of mistakes. But yeah, like we've spoken about before, just trying as hard as possible to think about doing the right things and learn from all those little mistakes that you make along the way as a parent, not having really a father figure to talk to, not having sort of other dads my age, like that, well, that I was friends with, to sort of ask advice. And even though I probably wouldn't have even asked advice, to be honest, I don't know, sometimes I guess back when I was 20, I would have been 29, 20, I think 28 when Ty was born, and I guess back in those days, it was sort of seen as weakness if you ask for advice, that you need to be tough and grow up in a generation where you're soft if you sort of ask for advice, or you're weak mentally and you got to be harder than that as a man. And sort of having that mentality doesn't work, man. It doesn't work. Like, it's just a Neanderthal sort of mentality, or that where, yeah, growing up, I guess the time that I did, and with the people around me that I did, with the family that I sort of had and seen, and the people, like I said, that I grew around, that was the sort of mentality, is that you don't talk, you hide your feelings, you don't cry, you don't show vulnerability, you do everything yourself, man. You're a man. You got to be a man, and men do everything, and it's just not reality. And took me a long time to realize that for sure. And I think having one of my best mates, Honza, was probably the first time I had someone that I could talk to about life and real life, not just I guess a lot you see these days on social media, and especially I don't do Twitter, but Instagram and Facebook and stuff, like all the people trying to make their lives look like they're a lot better than they really are, or even just showing all the good sides of it. Like, that's not, for me, that's not life. Like, that's part of life for sure. Congratulations to those people, but for me, it was more, I prefer. I guess with Honza was the first time, and you were probably the second time, I sort of had someone that I could just be real with, and be open, honest, be, I guess, a little bit vulnerable, and not, it's hard to find people where you don't feel like you'll be judged. And I think you sort of gave me that feeling pretty early on, like my other mate did, Hons, that, it wouldn't matter what I said. I was never going to feel like I was being judged by you guys. It's really, I like to be, if I can be that person to you or Hans as well, or other people, and I feel like if I can help someone by being able to let them be vulnerable for a little bit, that's what I try to do at work with my guys. I try to have the most open and honest relationship with my guys as I can, with my team, whether or not, try to give them, let them know I'm available outside of work if they need to talk, if it's stuff that's not work-related and they still want to have a talk. If they don't feel like they've got someone else, I try to be there for them. I guess I care. I care about people. That's one part I really enjoy about my job, is being able to help people reach their goals and help people just be happy, I guess. Help people being able to come to work, bust your bum, but still be happy, and be able to go home still as happy as you were when you came to work. I think that's what sort of drives me and makes me being able to get up 1 o'clock in the morning, put my makeup on, get to work at 2 o'clock, and then sort of half asleep, and still rip in and get stuff done, and try to stay as positive as possible, and try to, I guess, have that energy feed off onto the rest of the guys at work as well.
So you just dropped something there, and I want to make sure kind of people, I guess, get how, or at least how deep I took that message. You know, you said you looked at, you know, each second you spent with Ty was a second more than, you know, your dad spent with you, or you got to spend with your dad. And I think, you know, and I'll dive into, you know, the not so good stuff kind of later, because we can talk about, you know, all the wonderful things about parenting, but I want to find out the nitty gritty and the ugly stuff as well, because it does happen. But, you know, we tend to get lost in, you know, we've got this infinite amount of time
you know, not for just ourselves, but with our kids. And, you know, it's easy to waste that. It's easy to waste that by not being present with your kids. So I think, you know, as I guess your experience gave you that tool very early on. And, you know, I don't know whether you see it as a kind of a negative way to frame it. You said you don't think about it too much anymore, but it's still just a powerful tool that was kind of, I guess, birthed out of, you know, your upbringing and your childhood and just your experience. And yeah, just, I don't want people to I guess lose that message about how powerful time actually is. So no, thanks for sharing that, mate. That was powerful.
Yeah, no dramas, man. It was more for me, as I guess, especially with Ty when he was little, just trying to enjoy every little moment. We didn't have a really, even with mum, like, wasn't really super loving family where we're always together, doing stuff together, and sort of just wanted to enjoy having the baths, doing the baths and doing, having showers and going for the first swim in the pool and doing, just getting to enjoy him growing. I guess I was really scary as well, like I said, just not knowing what to do, even every 5 seconds running into the room to make sure he's breathing. And just, I couldn't leave sometimes because I'm so scared that something's going to happen, even though he's just sleeping. And it's so, I guess, for any new parent, it's really daunting for sure. It's really good if you've got I guess support people around you, in-laws or parents and your parents and that can help and sort of give guidance. But we did everything ourselves. We didn't have that. We didn't have anyone. So yeah, we found it really scary, both of us. But I think that's sort of, it makes you as well, makes you as parents. And we're still learning, 12 years on, still learning, still nowhere near perfect. And lot to learn for sure.
So, and we touched on, I guess, there as well about breaking down those barriers for men as well. And, you know, I know why we do it, in terms of, I think it's very much part of our upbringing and part of kind of the way dads were seen, that, you know, you can't even, you know, shed a tear in front of your kids because that's the wrong thing to do. But I think slowly that's now becoming, you know, such a, like you said, a Neanderthal mentality, that's not the way dads are anymore. So, and it's not the way, I don't think, dads were back then. They just didn't have the space, didn't have the outlet, for whatever reason. So, and you do, you know, you do hold, you know, not only that space for me, you know, you dived into work there a little bit as well, but you wear your heart on your sleeve, and you're such an empathetic person, and you put others' needs beyond your own, and that puts you out on a limb sometimes, but there's, people get strength from stuff like that. So, you know, you do hold that space for me. What I wanted to now, I guess, jump into is parenting kids. So if you want to tell me a little bit about Ty and Maddie, and because I know that they're two different kids from our conversations, but, you know, tell me a little bit about, you know, them. And then, you know, when you kind of realize that they were two different kids, and how different is it, you know, is it different styles of parenting you and Jess have to go through? Because I know they're in different, you know, Ty's big into sport, Maddie not at all. Just you give me that story and just share it with everyone.
Yeah, like you said, definitely polar opposites. Ty sort of started playing soccer when he was 4 years old and just fell in love straight away. He was just a ultra ultra competitive kid, hates losing anything. Up until probably last year, still crying when he was losing stuff. Very emotional. Similar to me, where he would just do everything possible to try to anything he did. Where Maddie was total opposite in regards. So we tried a few things with her, netball and gymnastics and dancing, and she didn't mind it, but she never really, you could tell she was just never really into any of those things that we tried out with her at the first, and just not competitive at all, more wanted just to help everybody and make them better instead of worrying about herself. So really, yeah, her whole mentality is make sure everyone else is sweet, and then if they're all right, then I might do something that makes me feel all right later on if I get a chance. If not, she's not too fussed. She's just all about everybody else, and that's how she's always been. Sometimes too much, where she just gets involved in everyone else's business when she can't. But I guess, we started noticing probably when Maddie was about 4 or 5, when we were trying to get her into a few different sports and different things, that she just wasn't really that interested, not that keen. And like, we took them both to Little Athletics, and I think Maddie would have been about 5 and Ty would have been about 8, and Ty never really did much athletics other than school carnivals, but he just used it as training for soccer and just wanted to win everything he did at the, not a natural athlete, but quick enough, could compete. There was a few kids there that were a lot better because they were just, that's all they did was athletics, and took me a while to sort of let him understand that it's not his sport, it's just something for him to do. Doesn't matter if you lose, but you can still gain something out of it. Without having to win everything, you can still get something positive out of it in regards to fitness, endurance, meeting new friends, having fun, not having that, I guess, the burden of it being his sport, that he could sort of relax a little bit more. But yeah, it didn't really sink in for him. He was just wanted to go a million miles an hour like he does with everything, and where Maddie would be running and stopping to talk to people on the way and waving out and smiling at people and couldn't care if she came first or last. It wouldn't bother her. If someone fell over, she'd pick him up and make sure they were all right. And so from that side of it, you could just tell straight away. I tried to push her a little bit just because I could see she naturally, she had a little bit of talent. She was deep, like pretty quick. But just no competitive edge at all. No competitive drive. Tried to get it out of her a little bit, but then just sort of come to the realization that that's not her. You sort of can't get something, out of kids if it's not really in them. So come to that realization and then started looking for other avenues for her, for stuff that she would really enjoy. Lucky enough that she fell into Girl Guides this year. Something was sort of thought as something a little bit outside the box. Something that she might enjoy, and she really, really loves that. So she's finally found something that she's really into. And unfortunately with COVID and everything, she missed out on a fair chunk of that, but they were doing a fair bit online and still doing activities at home. And she really loves that. And I guess with Ty, he's just everything soccer at the moment. It's his ambition is to become a professional soccer player. And I guess for me as a dad, it's just about trying to provide him with as many opportunities as possible to get better every day as a person. Keep trying to remind him that that's the first thing to sort of look at and think about is, are you being a good person first and foremost, being a good brother, good son, good teammate, good classmate. Trying to think about those things first, and then just having the right work ethic to get where you want to get to, and explaining certain situations with professional sportsmen and how hard it is to get there, and making him realise that it's not easy. But I think we've been having lots of really good, deep and meaningful conversations to and from all the training sessions that he does, to and from all the games. And it's been interesting to sort of hear his side and, trying to give him as much as I can from my end without turning him off or without pushing him too hard and without being that Demir Dokić or that parent that goes too far, and just keep asking the questions of, like, what do you want from me? Like, that's the easiest question for me to ask him. Like, if I see that I might get a bit upset or if he gets upset with stuff that I'm saying, I'll sort of just take it back to that. Like, first and foremost, what do you want from what you're doing, and what do you want from me as your father? Do you want me to be a bystander, sit back, drop your training, pick you up when your training's finished and let your coaches do everything, or you want me to be a part of the journey and give you my two cents, my advice, and my sort of my opinion on what you could have done better, what you're doing really well? And he's always, up until now, he keeps saying, no, I want your advice. I want you to let me know what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong. I try to get him to give me that advice first, or from his point of view. Most of the time, he already knows. So it's good that he can identify the things that he could have worked, could have done better, could have that he's doing pretty good. And then if there's something that he missed, I'll add that bit in there. But I think it's a pretty good father-son relationship in regards to that side of it, for sure. Probably still need to put a lot more focus on school and other things as well, making sure I'm doing what I can do for both of them, for Ty and Maddie, from school-wise. I don't know if the kids get as much as what we did at school. I think the teachers and that are a lot different to, from my conversations with Ty and Madison's teachers over the years. I think a lot more of it's left up to the kids to do outside of school. And I think with all the different, political correctness and different ways that the world sort of changed in the last 15, 20 years, and where the teachers are at now, what they can and can't do with discipline and different things, a lot of it sort of just left, for the parents. And I guess that's up to us as parents to sort of take some of that slack as well. But I guess, like with Jess, she works 4 days a week, studies online, uni, looks after us three as well, which is already a lot more than I could ever even imagine to try to do in my 7 days every week. And then I'm working long days, running, being Ty's taxi, driving him around. And then trying to find that extra bit of time and energy to just sit down, spend doing the studies as well on top of that, helping, making sure they're, up to where they need to be with their homework and different things, where homework and that it's getting done, but whether or not it's getting done at the right quality and they're spending enough time on it. And I guess that's the next step for sure, to make sure they that we're doing what we need to be doing as parents, for sure.
All right. I loved what you said about especially with Ty, teaching him to be a good human first, and then kind of everything else is secondary to that. So where does that come from you? So why is that kind of how you went about it?
I guess I just want to make sure, no matter what the kids end up doing professionally out after school, whatever wherever their life sort of takes them, I want them to be good people. And I think, the other thing outside of, having a better everything than what you had as a kid, I guess the other, when I sit back in 20 years' time, 30 years' time, if I'm still here on my rocking chair, watching some TV, watching the soccer or the footy, or doing whatever I'm doing. And if I can be able to, I guess, know that I did everything in my power and me and Jess were the best parents we possibly could be. And we had two kids that we're proud of, as in proud of what they've become. And what more so for me, it doesn't, like, it's never going to be, I'm going to be proud of them because of what profession they end up being. It's more so what type of people are they? What type of people are they? What type of people do they associate with? What sort of, I guess, what parents they're going to end up being? And yeah, that's way more important for me than what profession they're going to have. Are they going to, what salary they're going to earn? That sort of stuff. Pride wouldn't, like, you'd obviously be proud of your son if he, or your daughter, if they become a certain profession that they want to be, and it's a lawyer or whatever is supposed to be the things that your kids are supposed to be looking up to being. But for me, it's more so about being a good person. So that's always been my thought process, is, and it's going to help you be better at what you want to be at anyway. So in regards to Thai and soccer, it's always been, no matter what, you're going to end up becoming in 3-4 years time. He might not want to play soccer anymore, and he might change his what his ideas on what he wants to do. But all the things that he can put in place now for himself, with a little bit of support from myself and Jess, it's going to hold him in good stead no matter sort of what career path he takes, in regards to discipline, in regards to, like I said, being a good person, being a good teammate, being able to work with others, even others that you clash with, being able to still be a positive influence, being able to be help others be better around you, being that, like, that work ethic side, just working hard and knowing that, I guess, hard work's going to pay off in the long run. Yeah, all those sorts of things. If my kids can have that mentality that, yeah, no matter what I sort of want to get out of life and where I want to head, if I do the right things, be a good person, work hard, I've got a chance. And I think, yeah, that work ethic and being a good person are probably the two things that will sort of hold them in good stead for reaching their goals and being able to do what they want to do moving forward, for sure.
Yeah, well put. Yeah, I completely agree with that. And that's kind of, I know my hope for Betty, and kind of my thing is to just raise her as a good human being, and everything else will be a result of that kind of, that one kind of goal and that one thing. So yeah, that's awesome. As a dad, what's your biggest fear? What's your biggest fear for, it can be for you, for your family, for your kids, but just what's your biggest fear in terms of kind of that whole dynamic?
I guess in regards to being a father, or just in regards to, what do you mean?
Yeah, what keeps you up at night in regards to, yeah, being a dad, or for your kids, you know, what would keep you up at night, or what does keep you up at night?
Yeah, I guess for me, it's more so about, them being disappointed in me. Probably the hardest thing ever to cop would be your kids one day not wanting to be a part in your life. So I guess that's one thing that sort of drives me to want to be in their life for the rest of their lives, the rest of my life. I want to be a part of their life for sure. And I don't want to take that for granted. I don't want to just think that's a given just because I'm their father, that I should just be in their lives. I want to earn it. And I think I've earned it up till now, but yeah, to continue to earn it and earn the right to be, I guess, yeah, just a big part of their life, and hopefully be able to be a granddad one day and see those things. I guess the other things are sort of scary is, I guess, in the world that we live in, just I guess probably the, like most parents, I guess if anything happened to one of my kids, that's probably the scariest thing as any parent is not only how you would be able to deal with it, but how you would be able to continue to be a parent for the kid that's left behind, or being able to still continue to be you and being able to continue. Unfortunately, yeah, it's not something you want to think about or want to sort of think about too often or that, but it's definitely something as a parent that does cross your mind. And you see it on the news, obviously. You see parents losing kids and you think it's just not right that you should outlive your kids. But unfortunately, any time that you live, no matter if it was a couple of hundred years ago, there's always opportunities for that to be reality. That's probably the scariest thing of all is being able to, hopefully that doesn't become reality and you don't have to outlive your own kids. But how do you deal with that, man? Like, how do you move forward and keep being a positive influence on your family and keep go to work and do stuff? It's just, to me, it doesn't seem possible. Like, it doesn't seem like it's, obviously your world would never be the same. I guess that's the main thing for me is that'd be the two biggest fears for me is not being a part of my kid's life because I let them down or because I did something that was that bad that they didn't want me to be a part of their lives when they're maybe a bit later on in life, obviously if something unfortunately was to happen to one of them, being able to deal with that, which wouldn't be easy at all.
I feel you on both of those, mate. We'll finish off with one final question. So fast forward yourself to, 40 years time, you're kicking back on your rocking chair, you are watching sports. How do you, or what do you want your kids to remember Dad for? Or what do you want your kids to say about you, not only as a dad, but as a person?
It's a tough one. I guess for me, as long as they know that I cared, that I loved them with everything I had, that I worked my butt off to make their life better, that I sacrificed heaps, that I did everything I possibly could to give them as many opportunities in life as possible, and that I was a decent person. I was there for them when they needed me. That they felt comfortable to be able to come and talk to Dad when things weren't going well, when they have their breakup with their first partner or whatever the situation may be. Nothing too drastic. As long as they know that Dad was a good person and he did everything he possibly could to make our lives as good as possibly. I think that I could be a proud granddad watching Liverpool win another title. Hopefully it's not the only title I've watched since this year. So hopefully I'm not waiting 40 years till they win one. But hopefully Warriors have won a title by then as well, and they can say Dad supported some teams that actually won some stuff as well. It'd be nice. That could be a part of the conversation. Like I said, just being that they could respect me as a person, respect me that I made a lot of mistakes. I guess have a good understanding about my life. They don't really know too much about, my upbringing. But I guess eventually, when they're a bit older, to have a really good understanding of sort of where I've come from, how many mistakes I've made along the way and how hard life is. But then if you do find a good person to sort of continue your life with, and you do, I guess, get mentally find a place that makes you happy and makes you, I guess, able to head in the right direction, and yeah, anything's possible for sure.
Mate, well, you are you're a superstar dad in my eyes, and you know the reason I've always loved and valued our conversations is because, you know, I think we went super deep there, but you know, we had a couple laughs along the way, and that probably sums up those 2 years that we spent together. So I genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you and appreciate you so much. And yeah, I just love, you know, and we still do now have conversations about our kids and about being dads, and but we have just as many laughs as well. So I hope there's many more years to come, and I hope we are face to face kind of the next time we see each other, mate, and we get to kind of catch up and have a really good chat. But thank you so much.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Appreciate the invite. Appreciate everything you're doing. Appreciate the space you're trying to get into and the people you're trying to help. And if I can be a little part of that, more than happy to try to help wherever I can in that regards. But yeah, good luck with everything you're doing. Really impressed with how far it's come in such a short period. Looking forward to seeing the growth and development in this space from you, and see where it gets to, and see how many people you can touch and how many people, I guess, you can help moving forward for sure.
Thank you for tuning into the episode. I genuinely appreciate you taking the time to listen. The Dads Lifting Dads podcast is not just for dads. So if this episode resonated with you, or you know a loved one that may get some value from this, then please share it with them. If you would like to join our private Facebook group, you can find us by searching Dads Lifting Dads through Facebook. I can be found at bestselfmovement.com.au and also on social media at bestself_movement_wellness.